Welcome to SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. It is Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. Mike Prada, of course, from Bullets Forever and the editor of SB Nation DC. And give us a follow on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and Facebook. Find us there and like us, please, as we're with you here again this week. And a lot of things to talk about, and it is that time of year where it's all about the hoops.
Mm-hmm. My favorite time of year.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun, whether you're talking about pro hoops or college hoops. And unfortunately, we're not talking about any local teams anymore, but we will talk about who may be here at this point a year from now. But we are talking a lot about who the Wizards could be selecting with what we expect to be a very high draft pick coming up in June.
And I think it's a very important draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just – this isn't just like a high pick like last year where it's like you have to try to get lucky. I think that even if you don't get lucky, they've got to come away with someone good. And everybody says that the draft is no good, the draft is not really that deep, but that's what they've said about so many drafts in the past that have been proven wrong. I think it's just impossible to tell until these guys get on the court. And so they got to nail this, and it's not going to be easy because there are a lot of interesting candidates, and I don't know about any slam dunks, although what Derek Williams did the other night to Duke, I think that he certainly played like he was a slam dunk.
Yeah, and of course, with all these situations, when you talk about the draft, you have to first of all know who's in the field, who's going to be leaving early, and we have such a bizarre year coming up in the NBA, it's probably harder than ever to project until, well, the guys actually declare at this point, because we don't know how quickly they're going to have a season or if they're even going to have a season with their impending labor situation. So there's a lot of factors still in the play here, but I agree with you. If all the guys come out that we think may come out, I'm talking about Kyrie Irving, Harrison Barnes, and certainly Derek Williams, you just talked about, Jared Sullinger. I think suddenly it is a pretty good draft from being a weak draft, it is a really, I think, could be a strong first part of the draft and a possibility of hitting well late in the draft, too. I think all of a sudden it changes everything. And obviously, if Kemba Walker's in it.
Yeah, it's an interesting draft because I don't think, I mean, we said this before, I don't think there's any slam dunks here, but there are a lot of guys that have a lot to bring. They just got to end up on the right team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at a draft like even 07, which was supposed to be this draft that would transform the league like 2003. And I think a lot of those guys at the top, it didn't end up in ideal situations for what they were kind of trying to bring. You know, Mike Conley in Memphis, he took a couple of years to figure out what he was doing. I mean, E obviously was a disappointment. Jeff Green, I think, with Oklahoma City, there was a lot there at first, but then he kind of got lost in the shuffle. You wonder what happens if some of these guys end up on different teams and how that would have affected them. Whereas in 2008, a lot of these guys, I think, ended up on the right team. You know, a Westbrook on Oklahoma City, you know, even a Gallinari on New York, Kevin Love on Minnesota, Eric Gordon in L.A. I mean, these guys ended up in the right place. And you wonder, again, if they end up in the wrong place, how does that affect their development? I feel a lot like that this year where there are a lot of good players, but they have to end up in the right spots. And it's hard to tell what the right spot is.
Well, we know this much from the Wizards' standpoint. Let's go ahead under the assumption this is the loaded draft. That means Kyrie Irving, Harrison Barnes, Derek Williams, Jared Sullinger, you know, those guys up top, even Perry Jones from Kentucky jumps in the draft, and Kemba Walker as well. From what you've seen to this point, I know we talked about this last week. Obviously, Kyrie Irving, there's not the need here for him. But what would be or who would be the ideal candidate next for you with the Wizards?
It's tough. I don't really think there is anyone. Mm-hmm. But I do think that what Derek Williams did the other night to Duke, where he flashed something that I don't think he's flashed all year. Not only was he really dominant statistically, but I think he had a really good sense of the flow of the game, where early on his teammates didn't have it. And so he was taking shots that his team needed him to take that he hadn't taken all year, that maybe weren't great shots, but he knew that he needed to show that kind of confidence so that, you know, his teammates could kind of get into the game later. He took, I think, 6 or 7 threes in that game, and he's only taken, what, 60-something all season. That's something that really impressed me. Even if he didn't make those shots, I love that he was coming out there and taking them.
He shot 6 threes. He was 5 of 6, okay? To put this in perspective, how different that is. That was their 37th game. Going into that game, he had made 36. the entire season. So he doesn't shoot a lot of threes.
Right.
But he does have a good percentage. He was at a 58% clip going in, so he's been efficient. He had one other game, I think it was a few weeks before that, against Oregon State, where he hit 5 of 6. So maybe he's feeling it. Who knows? Maybe he liked the rims in Anaheim, you know, with the, in their shoot-around that day. But whatever it was, it was certainly a performance for the ages. And here's the funny thing. Some of the things he's known for, Mike, he didn't actually excel at that night, which was finishing the rim. The Plumleys actually blocked him a few times.
Yep.
And Ryan Kelly, I think, even, you know, at least changed a shot on him one time. But overall, he just showed the athleticism, as you say, that instinct and the feel for the game.
Right.
I think you saw that from him. You saw it from Kemba Walker, too, who didn't get off to a very fast start in the UConn game but finished with the 36 on the same night in the previous game at Anaheim. And even the Jimmer, who went, you know, the first 13-plus minutes without scoring, then went on a hot streak and then obviously finished cold and their season got finished. But, you know, all those players who are in the conversation as National Players of the Year – really kind of showed a feel for the game. Now, only one of them is really in the conversation, though, to be a high lottery pick, and that's Sullinger. And that's Derek Williams and Sullinger, too, if you want to go to Ohio State.
Well, see, I think – I'm not going to say that those guys didn't know the feel of the game, but I think at least with, like, with Kemba Walker, and that was a game I watched the most the other night, he got a lot of – he struggled in the half court to start the game. San Diego State's length was just really bothering him. And then San Diego State kind of lost their heads and left him open in transition. He got a couple good threes, and that got him going. I don't really think that was a flow of the game thing. I think it was he was in the right place at the right time. His teammates knew to get him, you know, get him off, and San Diego State had a brain fart. I think Derek Williams literally knew that he had to play differently for Arizona to win this game. He had to be more aggressive. He had to take those shots, and he had to do it right away. I don't think he could wait for his teammates to kind of get involved. Whereas I think in the first two games, he kind of waited around for his teammates to kind of get him into good spots. He was kind of took a back seat. He knew that he had to get going right away, and I thought that that was really impressive, because one of my big questions about him coming into this game is, can he be that kind of guy? Can he create his own shot? Can he create his own offense? And can he take charge instead of letting a lot of people set him up? And I saw that. And then in the second half, he really took a back seat. They scored 55 points, and he only scored 7. And I think that's because his teammates had gotten the confidence that he had given them. And that really impressed me more than the numbers.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. And again, you know, one of those performances where people are going to be talking about it for a very long time. And it will certainly be on the minds of a lot of people that, you know, are looking at the draft now. But, you know, for the scouts, they're supposed to, and the general managers at least, look at the whole picture, look at the whole body of work. So that's what they have to sift through. The highlights of March, yeah, those are great, but also know not to get too caught up in one game versus the other. And, you know, that's why Sullinger is going to be interesting when he gets evaluated, not as athletic as Derek Williams, but also a guy that can get his offense posting up, can get his offense facing the basket too, brings some dynamics that the Wizards do not have, both Williams and him. Williams certainly the more dynamic of the two, though.
Yeah, they both do, I think. I think Sullinger is a better rebounder. He's more of a classic post player. What I like about Williams how he relates to the Wizards is that he's just so efficient. He knows how to get his points. He knows the flow of the game. And there are a lot of guys in the Wizards that have a lot of talent, I think. And they have a lot of physical skills and a lot of, you know, but mentally I think they struggle with being efficient. And I'm not even talking just about, you know, Nick Young, Andre Blatt, JaVale McGee. I'm talking about guys like Jordan Crawford, who still is figuring that out, and, you know, even John Wall, and, you know, a lot of their other bigs. And I think Derek Williams knows the flow of the game so well for someone who his team does rely on him so much, where I can point to Derek Williams and I can say, you know, I know this guy is going to fit into a team setting. And I don't know, even as good as Kemba Walker and Jimmer Fredette are, I can't point to them and say, you know what, I know that guy is going to figure out how to play with other talented teammates. And I know that with Derek Williams, and I know that with Sullinger too. Although with Sullinger, you have to wonder how much of what he's good at is due to the team he has around him, which is all those shooters that, you know, you have to pick your poison, either take him away or the shooters away. And there aren't that many teams in college basketball with that kind of, you know, dual threat.
I'll throw one other name of a guy I know that's going to be able to fit him wherever he goes. That's Kyrie Irving. And,
yes.
Despite his, you know, him taking all the blame for Duke's loss,
which is ridiculous. By
it's
the way.
Stupid. It's
ridiculous.
Dumb. He didn't play. He wasn't one of the forwards getting out rebounded by 13 in the second half, you know, not hustling and you know playing defense the right way. So that is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's not fair to throw it all at him. But I look again. A lot of it's going to depend on where the Wizards get their lottery ball bounces, so to speak, when it's lottery time. And then secondly, how many of these guys get in the draft. But I think there's more hope now than there was, let's say, at the beginning of the year when you were thinking ahead of this draft. I think I have a much better feeling about it that, like you, I think the Wizards can get a very important piece out of this draft, and it can be a good one for them. And even with that later pick, with whatever Atlanta ends up being, too, I think they can also get a contributor there as well.
And that pick is rising as we speak.
Yeah, that's right.
It's now in the teens, and it was in the 20s.
That's a great point.
But, you know, there's also a lot of time left to go. You know, there's still everybody mocks the combine process. It's like, well, they're not playing basketball, but that stuff does matter. You know,
the measurements are a big deal for a lot of these guys and, you know, the personalities and getting to know the guys. I mean, and it's just another piece, but it is an important piece because you can kind of pick up on some things there, as some people thought they did with Cousins. You know, from Kentucky.
Right. And even, you know, I mean, you've said this example several times where in March of 2004, Emeka Okafor was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then teams kind of looked at him a little more closely. They found some injury concerns.
That's true.
They looked at his height. He was a little small for what he was supposed to be, his position. And suddenly the teams made the right decision and drafted him number two instead of number one. You know, I think that process is going to be so important this year because I think there is very little separating these guys. You know, even though Derek Williams had just such an incredible game, I don't think scouts get swayed by that stuff as much as we do.
Yeah, exactly. Fans go crazy about it. Twitter was blowing up on Thursday night because of it, talking about the Wizards like never before. But yeah, it's the scouts, the GMs, the guys who have to make the decisions, they have to coolly calculate all that stuff. But it does bring up a lot more interest, obviously, for the lottery process and then the draft and obviously the decisions made in between. It is SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. All right, this has been fun watching the Sweet 16 this weekend and the Elite Eight and, of course, now next week the Final Four. But which team from the area will be involved in the proceedings a year from now, or at least has the best chance? We'll give you our thoughts on that. It's SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.